Well, good evening. It seems that the word is out that FBH International is looking for some new leadership. And several people have expressed interest. I dare say even a few people have expressed concern. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong, other than I've accumulated too many birthdays. And so the board and I have been talking for quite some time now about, we need to put some succession plans in place. And you know, you keep saying you need to plan for something long enough, eventually you need to act on it. So that's what's happened. Somebody asked me just today, how do you really feel about this? And my response was, really, I feel excited. I don't know who the next person will be and where the Lord will take the ministry under that person's leadership. And I'm not entirely sure of where the Lord is moving me in the next little while. But I'm fine with that. We'll find out as it goes. There are lots of opportunities. I'm not worried about stagnating and getting bored. I will keep speaking as long as I get invitations. I just thought I'd throw that out there in case anybody was wondering. I mean, one of the things that I really feel called to do is to encourage Christians into a deeper walk with the Lord. And, you know, you'd think after 50 years or so that people would be where they want to be with the Lord and where the Lord wants them to be. And that's not always the case. It's easy for us to let the status quo take over and we just become, content with the way things are. And I have been accused of being a bit of an idealist, but maybe this is a good time to be an idealist, to encourage people to walk more closely with the Lord, to sort out the problems and so on. So that's really where I see my ministry has sort of been heading in the last little while, and that's what this reboot series is really all about. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. There are lots of opportunities to minister. There's a crisis pregnancy center, which is not called that, in Hamilton as well. And I may try to do some male mentoring with them. Young men sometimes come in with their girlfriends and they decide to keep the baby. Well, who's going to talk to the guy? Well, the girl is getting counseling. So there's room for that kind of a thing. There's a refugee house in Hamilton as well that I may look into. The last time I checked, it was full of Latin Americans, so I could have even practiced my Spanish, and that would have been fun. So I don't think I will be bored. And my wife has plans for me as well, which I won't get into. At any rate, that's where we're headed. Just one quick little update, particularly related to Ukraine. Today is a special day. Just learned about this at lunchtime. Today's a special day for Ukrainians because they are now able to move into, well, not move into, but visit Europe without getting a visa. And that's a huge step because it really sends notice to the world, but to Russia in particular, we are aligning with the West. So we'll see where that goes. In eastern Ukraine, I was talking to Viktor Akhtyarov, who's the director of Russian ministries for Far East Broadcasting on Thursday. I was talking to him. And I said, so what's it like now? I mean, is there ongoing fighting? He says, anybody who has been able to leave has already left. And the people who are left in eastern Ukraine are people who, because they don't have opportunity or for some other reason, they've just had to stay there. But he said, you know, there's not a lot of fighting, but he said typically about one or two people get killed every day in eastern Ukraine. Well, that gets wearing on you after a while. And is this your day? You know, a lot of sniper things going on and that kind of stuff. So it's a tense place and it's a tense time. They have been granted more licenses in that area to broadcast because the government recognizes that even though evangelicals aren't particularly respected in the community, which is highly orthodox, they have a message of hope and peace and love, which people need to hear. And so consequently, the government has facilitated them having more opportunities to get into different areas or different cities within the eastern area. So you could continue to pray for Ukraine. It's certainly a tough political situation there. People are coming to know the Lord, though, so we're grateful for that. Okay, let's start with a reading from Psalm 51. Now, when I mention Psalm 51, some of you will immediately think, oh, this is going to be dismal. This is a psalm famously of confession. But I want to encourage you tonight, okay? This isn't a downer. This is, let's talk about confession and how it facilitates having a close relationship with the Lord. And that's where we're going to go with this, in case you were wondering. But let's just read this psalm together. Psalm 51, to the choir master, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. You notice, this is just a little interruption here because I can't help noticing it as I'm reading it. You notice his focus is on God, even though it's his confession. He asks God to have mercy on him for God's steadfast love. And according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. It's about the character of God. So he's not saying, hey, God, look, I'm confessing this to you, so somehow you should forgive me. But no, he's calling on the very character of God as the basis for his forgiveness. Let's carry on. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. This is God's job. He's saying, you alone can cleanse me and make me white as snow, or whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Heavenly Father, as we look at these words penned by David, confessing grievous sin to you, we are dismayed on one hand because we recognize in ourselves our own propensity to sin. And yet at the same time, we're encouraged to see that this man, although he had committed what we would say humanly speaking are the worst possible sins, he still had courage to claim your forgiveness because you are the kind of God you are. And you receive us back to yourself wherever we are. And so at whatever point we may be this evening, I pray that you would use the thoughts that we'll think together, and build us up. Draw us close to yourself. Help us to see your loving heart, Father, and your desire for intimate relationship with us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my intention was to, or is still, to talk a little bit about some of the signs in our lives that indicate we may need a spiritual reboot. You know, you just need to pull the plug for a minute and fire it up again, get started again. And that can change everything. Because as we spend a lot of time in a pattern of behavior, sometimes we start to lose the significance of that behavior. It just becomes rote. It just becomes what we do because we do it. So here are a few things that might be evidence of the need of a spiritual reboot. One of the things that I'm thinking of is ignoring sin as it creeps into our lives. Now, there are sins of the body, sins of the flesh. Don't sneak up on us too much. Like, you probably haven't walked out of a Canadian Tire store lately and thought, oh my goodness, I just stole this hammer. Like, because you knew you did it, and you probably planned to do it. I mean, it doesn't just sneak up on you. Those are actions you do. But there are sins of the mind where it becomes very difficult to know when you've crossed the line. For example, envy. Envy's a bad thing. It sort of focuses on our discontent. The idea that we're not satisfied with God. But where's the line between looking at someone else's possession, whatever that might be, and saying, wow, that's a really neat blank you got there, to going to, it's really not fair that he has that and I don't. And now suddenly you've gone from being happy for that person and what they have to being discontent with what you don't have. So envy can sneak up on us. Gluttony is a challenge for us. More than you need, eating more than you need. We'll hear more about this next week, all things being equal. But I try to pray the Lord's Prayer at least once a day, usually before I even get out of bed in the morning. And I don't mean just saying the words, I mean actually praying it. And I've changed the words up to keep it fresh. But you know, the line I stumble on a couple of lines, more about that next week, but the one line that I stumble on is, give me today the food that I need to sustain my life. Because you know what? In our house, we have enough food for a couple of weeks or longer. Like, in our culture, what does that mean? Give me today my daily bread, the food that I need to sustain my life today. We don't have a clue what that means. I suspect that I could prowl through your cupboards and fridges at home and find that you got several days worth of food, right? Yeah, see, some of you are confessing this right up front. Good for you. So you know what I tend to pray? When I get to that line, instead of asking God to give me my daily bread, I ask God to remind me to stop when I've had my share for that day, when I've had my portion. Lord, remind me that this is enough. But you see, where do you cross the line between eating enough to sustain your life and eating just for pleasure? Or, as some of us struggle with, you eat for comfort because it makes you feel good. How do we deal with that? Other things too. Pride. Where do we cross the line from being satisfied with the way things are to pride? For example, maybe you've been able to help someone and you start off by saying, Lord, thank you that I was able to minister to this person, maybe by slipping them $20 or taking them for a coffee and spending some time with them, however you're able to help them. And you start out with a heart of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to do this. And when does it slip? And I don't know the answer to this. When does it slip into, well, you know, I'm a pretty fine fella. because, you know, I helped her this week, and I helped him last week, and, you know, they must really appreciate me, because, like, wow, I would sure like me if I were not me. Well, the problem is you like you because you are you. You know, where do those things happen? Anyway, it can those things can get in the way for sure. Being distracted by worldly influences, materialism, consumerism, social media. I saw a great thing, and it's really special because I saw it on social media. And here's what it was. All you need for evil to prevail is for good people to spend too much time on social media. Ow. Okay, there. That's a bit of a zinger, isn't it? Taking things into our own hands, maybe to even scores or to avenge ourselves, to clear ourselves, to teach others a lesson. Boy, we like to teach others a lesson, don't we? And when taking things into our own hands seems to be the best way to proceed instead of surrendering those things to God, those are tricky things. Guarding an inner secret that has become hard to bear. You know, there is something back there, and we just don't want to deal with it. And so we just cover it up. And then how about this one? Fearing that if people really knew you the way you are, that they wouldn't like you very much. See, when you see any of these things creeping up in your life, any of these attitudes or responses to situations, then I'm going to suggest to you it's time for a spiritual reboot. It's time to kind of start this thing again, freshen up your spiritual system, because that's not what it was like when you first accepted the Lord. Because when you first confessed your sin and received the salvation and forgiveness that God offers, like, you were clean. Like, there was nothing in the way. And that's why people talk about the wonderful feeling of relief and freedom and peace and all that. You had those feelings precisely because there was nothing between you and God. There was just intimacy. You remember that. You think about what it was like. And, yeah, wouldn't it be nice to just always be like that? So tonight we're going to think about the idea of being spiritually clean again. How do we get back there? So, four quick points on this. First of all, we have to confess to ourselves that there's a problem. And that's often a challenge. We already read these words in Psalm 51. Remember verse 3, he said, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Did you ever have a sin that was ever before you? Every time you opened your Bible to read, all you could see was that sin. Every time you tried to pray, it came back to mind. Now, don't put your hands up, but I'll put mine up. Because I've been there on a couple of occasions. And boy, and these weren't big deals. By human standards, they would be negligible by the world standards. But, you know, it's just there. And so what can happen is you just start getting used to that. That's the way it is. Not a good thing. You need to actually confess to yourself that this is a sin. This is not something you're just going to live with. It's sin. So that's the first thing. The second thing, easily enough, is we confess to God for forgiveness. And that's the obvious one. And when you became a believer, when you initially put your faith in Christ and received the forgiveness that God offers through the blood of Jesus, you were clean. You confessed your sin. And I don't know how specific you were. Maybe you did a global confession. God, forgive me for all my sin. Or maybe you had some specific sins in mind that you prayed and asked God to forgive you for specifically, to put them under the blood. But maybe there have been some things creep into your life since then. And remember those things? The hate, the envy, the greed, pride, all of those things. They sneak in. Like, they don't just knock on your door and say, "Hello, I'm Pride. I'd like to come into your life." Well, if they did that, we wouldn't have a problem with it because we say, no. But it sneaks in, and man, it's it's all through us before we know it. But so we want it. We need to confess to ourselves. We need to admit to ourselves there's a problem. Then we confess to God, and now we're clean. But here's another one aspect of forgiveness that's or aspect of confession that's a challenge for me. I suppose for other people too. These are words of Jesus. So, this is from Matthew 5, by the way, 23 and 24. So, Jesus says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, I think that this is a particular challenge to people of our tradition. Because, at least in the olden days, worship was the greatest, was the pinnacle of the believer's life. The most important thing, you worship. And you worship the right way. Preferably the way we do it. Because that is the right way, after all. I don't know. Maybe you're familiar with this little adage: worship before service. Let me give you an extreme example of this. A friend of mine named Dave. He was in a fairly conservative local church, and this happened. Admittedly, happened maybe 40, 50 years ago. So things were different then. And one day, Dave had trouble getting his car started. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he was very anxious to be able to get to the meetings. And so he fought with his car. Doug, you'd be able to help with this, but you weren't there then, so it's not really all your fault. He struggled with his car for an hour. He finally got it going, and he got in just at the end of breaking a bread. And the Sunday school department was downstairs, and Dave rushed through the door. And it was one of those split-level things where, you know, you'd go up to the auditorium or down to the Sunday school area. And he rushed in the door and started down the stairs. And one of the older brothers simply caught up with him and took his Sunday school materials from his hand and said, "Worship before service, brother. I'll teach your class today." Whew. Ouch. Now, that's an extreme example, although that actually happened. But you see, we have this emphasis that somehow, like, showing up at meeting, like, that's what matters. But that's not what this passage indicates. This passage suggests to me that God, to really open the channels of our vertical relationship, our relationship with God, our horizontal relationships, the relationships we have with each other, need to be right. And I suspect that this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the church today. I don't know that. I haven't done any studies on it. But I suspect that it is a big problem. Because, let's face it, we all look at each other. We evaluate each other. You all look pretty fine. Some of you are kind of casual tonight. That's disturbing. But, you know, no, it's not. You're here. That's terrific. No, but, you know, we look at the outside appearance, and we go, oh, like, everything's fine with these people. And we know that people are looking at us, so we try to present well. We try to look the part, whatever the role is that we're playing, and we all do play a role. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We do have different roles we play, but you know, we're, as long as it looks like everything's okay, then everything's okay, and that's not okay. God says that's not okay. So you come, this is the moment you're going to worship, and you're going to do it in the right way, at the right time, in the right place, and all of that stuff. And you have a problem with somebody else, another Christian. And God says, stop. You get this sorted out first, and then come and worship me. And we go like, as long as nobody knows about this, I'm okay. And so we proceed. And, you know, if it happens once, is that a problem? It happens twice, then it happens all month, then pretty soon a year's gone by, and we've never dealt with that issue. We've never dealt with the problem, and yet now we're into it so long. Have you ever noticed that when you carry on in this kind of a pattern for a long time, it's virtually impossible to change. It's too late now. Too late now. That's our attitude. And I'm here to say tonight, it's not too late. You can deal with those things. Is everything going to be perfect? Probably not, especially if it's gone on for a long time. You know, relationships don't just all turn out the way you would like them to. You know, and dealing with the offense that you have been to somebody else, that could be hard. They might not want to deal with that. They may come down on you with, you know, their big mucky wellies on, and that doesn't feel good. But hey, God asks you to do what you can do to get it right. So that's the third aspect of confession. So we confess to ourselves, admit to ourselves that we have a problem. We confess to God for forgiveness. And isn't it great that God forgives us? But then to carry on in that intimate relationship with God, God says to us, hey, make it right with your brothers and sisters. Another verse. You know, believe it or not, how many of us, just for fun, this is a poll I would like to see. How many of us grew up saying, reciting the Lord's Prayer every day at school? Most of us? I'm thinking, yeah, you all look pretty old. Dylan, you're off the hook. But the rest of us, you know, at our advanced age. And, you know, it just became words. Just became words. And it had zero meaning. And, you know, for some of us, the idea that you would repeat a prayer, that you would say a written down prayer, like that's almost like other people do that, but we don't. We do spontaneous prayer because that's what God likes. I kind of changed my mind about that. We'll talk about that more next week. Come back again. But you know, there's that challenging little verse in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Can you imagine what for God's forgiveness would look like if it really mirrored your forgiveness of other people? That challenges me big time. Wow. The whole idea that you would choose, you know, consciously choose to not hold someone's sin against them, that you would not try to hold them accountable for their sin. Wow. But that's what forgiveness calls us to. And we can't always make all our relationships perfect. I know that. But we can do what we're responsible to do. And that's what God calls us to. And I would be happy if someone is thinking, I don't agree with this. I think this is not a problem. I don't think our human relationship should make any difference in our relationship with God. If you would like to challenge me on that, do it now publicly would be fine, or even after. I'm okay with that. Because wouldn't you like to be off the hook on this? I would. Here's another thing. We confess to a mature believer to free us from the grip of a secret and for support. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Interestingly, if you look at different words here, some translations use the word sins like this. Others use faults or weaknesses. You confess these things to another person, and the idea is that they pray for you. Not to forgive you. I don't believe that this is some kind of a priestly act whereby I can forgive your sins because you've confessed them to me. No, you confess them to God for forgiveness. You confess them to the person you've wronged. But there are, to get that relationship sorted out. But there are sins that we commit that nobody would know about. Sins of the mind, of the heart. Sins of the past that we have kept secret. But those things can become a real matter of bondage for us. And they grind us down, and that's part of the reason why we need a spiritual reboot. A couple of years ago, I bumped into a lady who began an email correspondence with me. This is not uncommon, by the way, in my line of work. And she had a problem. She was really concerned. She had told her husband a lie. I think it was even before they were married. And at the time, it seemed it was about her relationship with another guy. All right, that's what it was about. She had misled him as to the nature of the relationship. And this lady is now, she's retired. And she's, whatever that is, over 60, let's just say that. And she has carried that. It's been gnawing away in her craw for all of those years. Getting in the way of her relationship with her husband, getting in the way of her relationship with God. And, we might look at that and go, wow, isn't that sad? But isn't it good to know that those things can be sorted out? God's there with open arms, and it's whatever stage, however long you've managed to keep this going. But she felt that she needed to confess to another person as part of the letting go of the secret, and that's a big thing. I've talked to other people who have had similar stories, because when you carry a secret, it really affects a lot. And it affects your relationship with God. It gets in the way. And so here we are this evening, thinking about this grievous sin situation that David found himself in. We've read his confession. We know from these other passages that we've looked at that confession is an important part of keeping our relationship with God open and clean and vulnerable and all of those good things. Now, the challenge is to do. Because insight is necessary, but it is not sufficient. I remember the first time I heard this. I was taking a course in Ecuador, no less. And the professor said, it had nothing to do with the faith, but he said, insight is necessary, but insufficient. And, I've thought about that so many times since. See, just knowing is not enough. You need to have action with it. You need to act on what you know. So, you all knew all of this stuff. There was really nothing new here that I presented. I, just packaged it a little differently, maybe. You knew this. But I'm going to suggest to you that it's possible somebody needed to be reminded of this so that you can deal with it. Not so that you learn something. Oh, wow, I heard this great sermon. It wasn't a great sermon, but you heard this sermon, about confession. And wow, what great truth. And isn't it wonderful that God just, he's prepared to forgive us when we confess our sin and we confess to others and we get our relationship with them sorted out and all this. Isn't it wonderful? Yes, it's all wonderful, but it's not wonderful if you don't do anything about it. So, homework for this week. There are several teachers here. God bless you. But homework assignments drives it home. That's the whole point of giving homework assignments. So, drive it home. I challenge you. Pray the Lord's Prayer every day all week. I mean, really pray it. Don't just say the words. That never helped anybody. And consider all of those challenging passages. And maybe we can discuss the challenging passages in the Lord's Prayer next week. Be encouraged. God, he wants to have a warm, intimate relationship with you so badly that he sent his son to die on the cross for it. I mean, that's pretty intense desire on God's part, isn't it? Now, you knew that, and you know that, but isn't it diabolical how sin gets in the way and it infiltrates us and... Anybody? No. I just hope you're encouraged. Because if you admit publicly to being encouraged, then maybe, people will know that you really need to get something sorted out. And that would be awkward for everybody. We don't want to know about that. But, you can be encouraged by the fact that God's great heart of forgiveness is open to you this evening. Even after all these years of walking in faith, he wants more of you. He wants to have that kind of really deep, loving relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've shared together this evening. We thank you that we could be here. We thank you for the facility. We thank you for each other. And we thank you for your word. We confess that it challenges us. It gets under our skin, and it reminds us that where things aren't the way they should be, we can do something about it. We can come to you. We can leave it with you. We can attempt to make it right with each other. And Father, we recognize that we can't control the other person's response, but we can do what we can do. As much as depends on us, we can live in peace with our brothers and sisters, knowing that some of the situation does depend on them too. So, Lord, we know this isn't magic, that this isn't miraculous, that everything won't have a nice, clean, tidy outcome. And yet, Father, we want to be the people that you call us to be, regardless of the other people in our lives and how they might respond to us. And so I confess to you my own weaknesses in regard to this. It's huge. And Father, we do really want to be able to pray with sincerity, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Thank you for the time that we've had together, for the privilege of studying your word.